Some days after boosting the trader on its way, Shrike nosed into the spin-down military docking collar at Overhold, the larger of the two orbital stations serving Bizarre, as gently as a spider landing on a tree. Esme carried out the docking sequence under Solus's watchful eye. It was her first docking. Everything went smoothly. Solus nodded as the status lights flicked to green and then opened a channel to the station master.
RSS Shrike docked. Permission to unseal?
Permission to unseal. All personnel leaving ship must be ID'd at the security desk opposite the docking bay.
Understood, Station Master. We anticipate a brief visit and no station liberty. My quartermaster will be coming out to arrange for some supplies.
Right, Shrike. You do have a hard copy packet in the tank?
Thank you, sir. Idiot civilians. Says that right out on the station comm, where anyone with a halfway decent data suck could get it.
He turned to Esme.
Lieutenant, you'll take the bridge while I'm on station picking up our mail. I anticipate being gone less than an hour. If I'm delayed, I'll call you.
Sir.
Esme toggled the internal comm.
Security escort to the Axis for the captain on the double.
And I think we'll do a practice scan as well. Nobody's checked Overhold since Hearn was by, and there's no reason to trust her data. You can set that up while I'm gone.
Nothing showed up on the scan by the time Solus returned, and he sent Esme off to other routine duties. Half a shift later, Chief Arbuthnot came back from the station in a state of annoyance and reported to the cook while Esme was in the galley inspecting the sink traps.
Oh, they don't have any Arbuthnot marmalade in, and we need it for the captain's birthday dinner. I always get it here. It's better quality than out of stores at HQ. They say they don't expect any until the Boros circuit ship comes in.
The cook glanced up at a schedule on the bulkhead.
Well, that's odd. Wasn't that ship supposed to be in already? We usually get here a week or so after her.
Yes, but she's not. They don't sound very worried, though.
Esme reported that conversation, minus the specifics of a treat for the captain's birthday, to Captain Solus.
They don't seem concerned. Interesting. I think perhaps we'll have a word with the Boros shipping agent here.
The Boros agent, a flat-faced woman of middle age, shrugged off Captain Solus's concern.
You know yourself, Captain, that ships are not always on time. Captain Lund is getting on a bit. This was to be his last circuit. But we're confident in his honesty.
It's not his honesty I'm questioning, but his luck. What was his percentage of late arrivals?
Lund? He's better than 93% on time. And in the last 5 years, 100% on time.
Which you define as...
Within 24 hours, dock to dock.
On all segments?
Well, let me check. Yes, sir. In fact, on the segment ending here, he's often 12 to 24 hours early.
When would you have reported an overdue ship if we hadn't asked?
Company policy is to wait 3 days, 72 hours for any run, and add another day for each scheduled 10 days. For Elias Madero, on this segment, that would come to 10 days altogether. And from day before yesterday, when she was due, that's 7 days from now.
Captain Solus called Esme into his office as soon as he'd returned.
You see the problem. Scheduled transit time is 72 days from Corian to Bizarre, dock to dock. Most of that time spent on in-system drive. If you consider beacon to beacon time, she should have been off scan only 16 days.
What's the scan data from Corian?
Normal exit from system. The approved course was like this.
Solus pointed it out on the charts.
That makes the scheduled transit fairly tight. If the company schedules things that tight, then it makes sense to allow some overage. But I'd expect someone on this route to be over the allotted time at least 30% of the time. And the Elias Madero wasn't. Does that tell you anything?
They've been using a shortcut. They'd have to.
Right. Now we have to figure out where.
Someone at Boros should know.
Yes. But if it's an illegal transit, unmapped or something, they may not want to tell us. Tell me, Lieutenant, who would you recommend for a little quiet questioning?
The crew list ran through Esme's mind, unmarked by any helpful notes on deviousness. She hadn't been with them long enough to find out. She fell back on tradition.
I would ask Chief Arbuthnot, sir.
Good answer. Tell him we need someone who would be confused with a shady character. Someone who can get answers out of a rock by persuasion.
Chief Arbuthnot knew exactly what Esme wanted and promised to send young Darren out at once. The answer that finally came back several days later was expected, but not overly helpful.
A double jump system. Let's see if we can get confirmation out of someone at Boros. They probably ran into a shifting jump point.
Why would someone retiring risk that?
He probably thought it was stable. Some of those systems are stable for decades, but that doesn't mean they're safe.
If they were carrying contraband, then the time gained in a shortcut would give them time to offload it. Or if someone knew they had contraband, it'd make a fine spot for an ambush.
Solis raked a hand through his hair.
Well, we'd better go take a look and see. I have to hope it's not a shifting jump point.
By this time, the local Boros agent was quite willing to list the Elias Madero as missing. Even so, it took Solis another 2 days to locate someone higher in the Boros administration who could confirm not only the existence, but the location of the shortcut.
There's an off odor about this whole thing. Normally, I'd expect reluctance to admit to using a dangerous route, but there's something more. Or less, I'm not sure. Now, how would you plot a course to this place?
It was not, Esme discovered, a simple matter. The shortest route would have been to reverse what the trader's course would have been, but fleet charts did not list any insertion data for the outbound jump point.
Besides, if we go in that way, we'll cross any trail they made. We need to come in the way they did.
But that'll take much longer.
Solis shrugged, a gesture which did nothing to mitigate the tension of his expression.
Whatever happened has already happened. My guess is that it happened days before we got to Bazaar. So what matters now is to find out what happened in as much detail as possible. That means approaching the system with all due caution.
All due caution meant spending 23 days jumping from Bazaar to Podge to Corian, and from there to the shortcut jump points. Esme set up each course segment, and each time Solis approved. Shrike eased its way into the system with what Esme hoped would be low relative velocity. So it proved. And as scan steadied, she could see that the system held no present traffic. The senior scan tech pointed to the display.
But over here, Lieutenant, there's some kind of mess. I can't tell if it's distortion from interaction of the two jump points or leftover stuff from ships. If it's ships, it's more than one.
Esme looked at the scan herself. Ripples and blurs obscured what should have been a steady starfield.
What's the range?
Impossible to say right now, Lieutenant. We don't know how large it is, so we can't get a range. But to me, the texture looks closer to this than the other jump point.
The scan tech glanced at the captain.
We'll continue on course for 2 hours, then see what Parallax gives us.
In 2 hours, the area of distorted scan was hardly larger.
Well, Lieutenant, we can risk a micro jump, run in a few light seconds, and see what happens. Or we can sneak up on it. What's your analysis of the relative risk?
Esme pointed to the scan display.
Sir, this knot in the grav readings ought to be the second jump point. And if it is, it hasn't shifted. Nor has this one. Which suggests that we're definitely looking at transit residue. And therefore, unless it's an entire Benignity battle fleet, it's not that big. So it's close, but not within a light minute. We could jump in 15-second increments and have a safe margin.
If it's only transit residue, you're right. If it's also debris, it's been expanding from its source, and we don't know the location of its source. At some velocity, we also don't know for at least, I'd say, 30 days. Worst case, Elias Madero was carrying the missing weapons, and for some reason, they all detonated. How much debris and how big a volume are we talking about?
Esme fed numbers into the calc subunit as fast as she could.
I don't know, sir.
Nor do I. And that's why we'll jump in 1-second bursts with the main shields on full.
Solis brought Shrike toward the anomaly in repeated small jumps. At 21 light seconds in, the scan was markedly different. Now they could see clearly that more than one ship had been involved.
Let's just sit here and look at this.
On in-system drive, Shrike was hardly sitting still, but it would still take her hours to reach the distortion.
Do we have any indication at all of an original track?
Very attenuated, sir, but this might be the Merchanter's original trace.
Scan switched filters and enhancement to pick out, in pale green, a faint, widened trail.
If we take the center line of that, we get appearance at the incoming jump point and progress consistent with an in-system drive of its class up to this point. But there's a more recent trace, much smaller.
So, assume for the moment that we have found the Merchanter's incoming trace and it's a perfectly straightforward course toward the second jump point, just as they've done before. There's no bobble indicating slowdown until the mess?
None, Captain. But the traces are so old, I can't be sure.
Right. But I'm assuming that for now. She comes in, she heads for her outbound jump, and runs into a bunch of other ships. Trouble, no doubt. Do we have any older traces?
No. And from this angle, it'd be hard to see them.
Fine, we'll go up and take a look there.
Solas put his finger on the chart.
A 32-second jump to these coordinates. I want to be well outside the zone of distortion.
Scan blurred and steadied again.
Now, I want to find out where those other ships came from and in what order.
Esme found this tedious, but knew better than to say so. Surely the fastest way to find out what had happened to the Elias Madero would be to go in and look. The system was empty. What could be wrong with that?